You might want to turn in your Bible to Revelation and chapter 5. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, God and Father, we do just that. Your day, God. So we're trying to take every opportunity on your day, in your day, for all the days that lie ahead. And our God, we thank you. So help us, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In the light of that, if you would think in your journey through time, things happen that are not good, and the people see them, and they react to them. And so there's shootings, lots of people sometimes die, little and big. And that's a tough thing. And people look and see that. And they react to that. And they respond to that. And they sometimes they tell God, how could God let that happen? Did you ever hear that? How could God let that happen? And that's our world, across the world. So the world is a very, very volatile. You may not see it. You have a normal little periods of time when things are just normal. Things are different, things are changing, but they're basically the same. We open the same refrigerator. We sit at the same table. We go to the same work. We go to school, whatever we're doing. And we do that normally. So our normal world, and we have all these crises that come. In the Weather Bureau predicted so many hurricanes, and understandably, that's their assigned job to do that. But we've only had one that I know of. Now, what would happen when the hurricane happened? It was a tough hurricane, to say the least. One of the worst that is. Now, in the light of that, what happens if you understood that you were to assign and exercise that hurricane? You were given the assignment to go and send that hurricane and let all those people die. That's your assignment. Would you do it? God did it. Would you do it? God did it. Would you do it? So, what am I looking at? What do I need to understand? Here we are looking, Revelation chapter 5, and God is going to unleash the judgments, that the world doesn't want to hear and doesn't believe that God will ever do anything. And God's going to do it all. How comfortable are you going to be when he's doing that? What happens, I'm going to get you back to earth. Because on earth is where we have to understand it to start with. And we on earth have to understand horrible things. We live in the middle of them. We have to be careful we aren't overwhelmed by them, all of the things. And if we could see Earth and all us humans on Earth, 8 billion of us or so, and you could hear and if you could understand the mood, the movement from country after country, culture after culture, and you could catch it, and you would see how volatile it is. How terrible it is, and how worse it could be. But God doesn't let it happen. But he does let some things happen. And the believing heart needs to be on the same page with them. That's what I want you to see. Are you on the same page when all these things happen in your life, around your life, in our world, And they're happening, happened, they're happening, and they're going to happen. Now, how are you going, how do you see them? That's important. So Revelation chapter 5 is to help us to understand what? God is going to have some very, very serious judgments on earth that we have never seen, or history has never recorded. The Genesis flood was something else. But after that, there is nothing to look at, really, until the tribulation. Wow. So that's what we're looking at. I want to understand and make sure the believing heart is on the same page with God. When God chooses to do it, you amen it and are going to go with it. It's horrible, but you're going with it because God's doing it. And you have to line up your heart to do that. Otherwise, you shrink back and you don't want to do it because it's so awful. It seems so unfair and unequal and wow. On the contrary, when you see it from heaven, it's not that way at all. It's not that way. Are you ready for the exercise? With that in mind. Now, here we are in Revelation chapter 5. And the Spirit of God is helping us understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, the little lamb, we've done all these things, is going to go and stand in verse 6. He's going to be standing in the middle of the throne, and he's going to go and take the seven sealed book, and that's what he's going to do. He's worthy to do it. And in the process, the elder is there, except we'll hang on to the elders. And we'll do just that to remind you, because we're going to look at them at least for a moment. And remember the elders, as you get you have to put all the information you can get together to come up with answers, and then sometime you have to sit tight. And the best you can do is, God, that's what I think. But it isn't up to me to think. And it isn't up to you to think. It isn't up to you or me to understand. It's up to God to understand. And up to God what he's going to do. I don't have his mind and heart. I don't have a thousand zillion pieces that he does. We're quiet. Be quiet heart. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Back off, sit down. That's how you learn. You don't jump. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so the elders are going to have white robes. In verse 4, they're clothed in white raiment. Clothes. The white raiment is the righteousness of the saints, you know, from chapter 19. And the crowns of gold are upon the head. The crowns of gold are wreaths. They aren't steel things. They're wreaths, made of wreaths. And the victor, Olympic Games, you would go and get the crown, you'd win a wreath as the winner of a game, the winner of an event or something. It also was used of kings, and it's used in chapter 6 in verse 2, the crown. So you can see the crown is used various ways. And I saw and behold, chapter 6 verse 2, behold the white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's the Antichrist. He got a crown. So the crown is used different ways. And here the elders, our elders have crowns. And you'll notice in chapter 4, verse 10, and the 24 elders fell down before him, and that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns. Who had the crowns? Not the angels. Not the angels. The angels don't have a problem with that. Get crowns. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, etc. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that, if you can, in mind, chapter 5, picking up And in chapter 5, sliding down to verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, what he was standing, the lamb was standing, little lamb, the Lord was standing, as it had been slain, slaughtered, crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ is crucified, he's buried and rises again, but that he's been crucified is forever to be seen. His nail-pierced hands, feet, side, forever. And all of forever, in his perfect humanity, he's going to be the one slain, the little lamb slain. When he holds his hand up, you'll see the print. Always see the print. He's been slaughtered. Why does any of it exist? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and got those nail prints. Because those nail prints are there, that's why you're there. That's why I'm there. Now, so having said that, and he has seven horns. He has seven horns. Remember, horns, offensive and defensive. I forgot whether I did all that last week or not, and I forget what I say sometime, and therefore I don't want to have to repeat things too often, you know. I've had people say to me, oh, you said that last week, you know. Yeah. So I try not to say it the second week, but I do, because some of it you need to hear, because you didn't get it. You see, I may walk home with it. You may not walk out the door with it. So you need it again, because the pieces are all coming together like this. As everything we're doing in Hebrews, think of it, Hebrews, John, Jeremiah, all of these pieces are coming together. So you want to get the pieces, and God will help you keep putting them together to get the picture. Now, so here he is, the seven horns, and offensive, defensive, the animals have horns, etc. That's their primary thing that mocks them, the elephant's tusk, etc. And in the process, what are we saying? We say it quickly, say it. What is the horn? The horn is offensive and defensive. And in the process, it is power, position. And God, what is it saying about the Lord? The little lamb is omnipotent. The little lamb is all-powerful. Seven horns, perfect, complete power. He is omnipotent, the little lamb. The little lamb is omnipotent in power, supreme power. Secondly, you'll remember, it says that he has seven eyes. The seven eyes are the seven spirits of God. And we shared that together, I think, at least in my mind I did. And we did all of that. And so what are the seven eyes? The seven eyes then are equal to what? Seven complete, perfect. Seven eyes are really relate to what? I'm telling you about the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God. God. And God, the Holy Spirit, is perfect. Perfect in every way. He is omniscient, knows everything. He's omnipresent everywhere. Perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ is full fullness of God. God in his omnipresence, omnipotence, his omniscience. He knows everything, has all kinds of power. He has everything. He is perfect. The little lamb is perfect. He represents the little lamb slaughtered, represents the perfect God in a perfect way. So as he stands to take the book, and he takes the little book, as it were. So in verse 7, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And he took the book, he reached out and took the book from God the Father. And he did that in a most wonderful way. And when he had taken the book, he was the worthy one. Remember, John is there, chapter 5, 1, 2, 3, 4. John is looking, who's able to open that book and bring to conclusion history that's been all over the place and has taken God, refused to honor God. History has refused to honor God. History has officially rejected God on Calvary's cross. Now, God, is there any way to fix this, to rectify a world that was unbelieving? That's what's happening. So now, he took the book, and therefore John is looking and sees someone. Here's this little lamb. We already have spoken. John sees him as the little lamb. We mentioned last time that John saw, has known him in all kinds of ways. God presents himself here in the end, Revelation, all 29 times or whatever it is, lamb, as the little lamb. He's the one that's going to put it all together. And the believers need to understand. The church needs to understand. The body of believers need to understand God, what he's doing. The world is just going to feel and know the effect. The church needs to be on the same page. Therefore, verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, in order to catch that, or if I can, John chapter 5. The Gospel of John and chapter 5. Here's the little lamb, so we're going to get to understand the little lamb. And why did he take the book? Because he's worthy. Chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 22. For the Father, this is our Lord, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they have honored the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, with this which has sent him. Now, sliding down in the wonderful section, verse 27. And hath given him authority. God the Father gave him authority. God hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. He's the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Word become flesh. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming to in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. Now, verse 30. I can of my own self, said the Lord in his perfect humanity, I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So all the things that he did and would do in his perfect humanity, he was wonderfully 1,000% in harmony with God the Father. He was just following the instructions of God the Father in his perfect humanity to outwork all that he did. All that he did, all that he's doing, and Revelation 5, all that he will do. He's in perfect harmony. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that. Not my will, not what I think anyone else wants, but God wants, how God wants it, no matter how it looks, no matter how it tastes, no matter where it goes. God, your will be done. That's what our Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but Father, your will. That's what it's all about. The lamb has to be slain. The little lamb is going to do the job. All judgment is given into his hands in an awesome way. Now, having said that, and now back up to verse 24. All of that produces what? Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Remember the judgment of damnation in verse 29, but the believing heart isn't going to know that, because there is no condemnation to them, no judgment to them that receive the Lord as their Savior. It's an awesome, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, having said that, he is the judge. Judgment has been given into the hands of the perfect Son of God, the little lamb that is slain. And the perfect Son of God is going to exercise the will of God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost. He's going to exercise that will. So he reaches out and takes the seven scroll book to open the seals. He is worthy to do so. Why is he doing it? Because it is God's will. Now, Acts 17. Acts 17. Thank you. And in Acts chapter 17, you will notice, please, directly in the light of Athens to the assembly of believers, or the people that are going to be in Athens. Verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. What man? Whom he hath ordained. It says God has given it an assignment to the Lord Jesus Christ, the little lamb. By that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance, so there's no doubt, no, don't have to doubt, don't have to, it's confirmed and affirmed. There's no doubt. Assurance unto all men, no matter who, what, where, when. In that he hath raised him from the dead. Which one is going to be my judge? He is going to be my judge, the judge of the world. He is the judge. Revelation chapter 5. The little lamb stands in the middle with the book, the scroll in his hand. He's the right one. He's the right solution. He's the right one for the right solution. Now, having said that, another little word that may help us, over to Romans. And in Romans chapter 12, and you will notice in Romans in chapter 12, may I go directly in the light of the context to verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And the word avenge, and vengeance are the same root verbs, same word. And it has to do with judgment. It has to do with the exercise, the execution of rightness and justice. Avenge, revenge, the execution of right and justice. God said, I'm going to do it rightly and fairly and justly. I am going to do it. You aren't going to do it, and I'm not going to do it. God's going to do it. He is the judge. Who was given the assignment to be the judge? He is. God has given him the assignment because of his death, burial, and resurrection. He is the one qualified. He is the one who is worthy to do that. Now, and when you say that, that's on this earth right now. And we're looking, why did something happen? And why isn't something fixed or corrected? And we shared all these things. That God is going to fix it. God's going to fix the whole thing, no matter how you do it. He's just going to fix it. He's going to fix it in a very quick way. And you say, well, that person should be punished. If the person isn't saved, the person's going to be punished forever. So whether you hit him or not, you see. Won't make any difference, usually. Won't make any difference. Because that person's going to be punished forever. So I'm not going to add to his unnecessarily, unless he tries to hit Jeanette, and then I'm running. I'm going to run for help. No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. No, I'd die before I do that. That's the way it is. Can't help it. That's what I do. That's why I told you a long time ago. I said when I left, you know all these things, when I left Boston up there in Somerville, Met, after school and all that stuff, and I left because of the corruption of the politics in Somerville that I knew. I knew the people, my friends were all friends with all the bad guys, and that all the lousy politics were going on. And I said, "This, why don't we fix it?" "Well, you can't fix it because it's part of the system." He said, "Well, I'm going to California where it's good." And that's what I did. Yeah, what can I tell you? Now, if we can, over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. And we're going to take our little word to see. Romans 12 is on earth. That's for us. Revelation 6 is for the people in heaven, as it were, in the tribulation. And in the process, chapter 6, may I pick up, please, in verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had." In other words, they were killed because they were Christians. Verse 10. "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, O Lord, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge," there's your word, "avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth? How long, God, is it?" And God says, you remember, verse 11, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." God said they have to finish. They're going to kill some more of you guys. And remember Revelation 13 and all of that. God's going to kill them. And God lets them. "The Christian, you've got to save the Christian." No, God's going to get clipped. God's going to do that. They're going to let it happen. Wow. I wish you wouldn't let it happen, but God did. God does. God will. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and by the way, while you have that in your thinking, here's the little lamb standing there with a scroll. And tie that together, as you did again, Daniel chapter 7. Daniel, a long time before the Gospel of John, etc., John came along. And you'll pick up, if I can, chapter 7. And picking up, please, in, this is the list of the nations, times of the Gentiles, coming down to the Roman Empire, and the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay, chapter 2, the 10 toes. And here in chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, the Antichrist, the same thing that you have in chapter 2, only a different description. And in the process, the Lord Jesus Christ comes against the Antichrist, and he defeats the Antichrist and at a second coming in that. So, that's going to take the tribulation. So therefore, going directly in the light of the context, verse 13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him glory, dominion and glory in the kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed." And there you have But Daniel say the Lord steps, the Son of Man steps forth, and he's going to fix it. We have Revelation chapter 5, rather specifically, it fills that in. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, And so here, we're going to look, and God, what are you doing? I'm helping you understand what happens. When the Lamb takes the book, what are all those people? He's in the middle. The little Lamb holds the scroll. He's going to open the scroll. All of it's awesome, the tribulation, chapter 6 through 19, etc. All of that's there. So as he takes the book, what happens? All the angels and all of everyone, including the elders and the beast in verse 8, the beast, the four beasts, the four living, beast means living creatures. God has all kinds up there. And the living creatures and the elders, and what are they going to do? They're going to go and harmonize with God. Not even an instant space, not even a discussion, just a wonderful, wonderful coming together, a heavenly harmony. Harmony, to bring together a combination of parts. Pleasing, bringing together, orderly, in agreement. To harmonize, to make harmonious, to bring together. God is what? God, every angels, the beast, and the elders. The elders, the believers, what are they going to do? They're going to honor the God who's going to exercise all those judgment. That's what I said in the beginning to remind you. That's there for the tribulation. We're here right now going to see things. You don't like to see them. I don't like to see them. And I wish we could fix some of them. Maybe we can, maybe we can't. And part of the problem, the old problem we have, is because the system creates the problems and then feeds the problems and makes them unsolvable. The Christian, makes the problems on sex and all of this and then feeds and keeps it going. A male and female, when am I going to fix it? You aren't going to fix it because we're going to keep it going. We're going to feed it. They're all suicides and everything, and bad things, shootings, everything. But we aren't going to fix it. We're going to feed it. Yeah. So we don't fix anything. That's where we are now. But when we're believers, are to be in harmony with God, to understand what God does is perfectly done in a perfect way to bring about his wonderful saving grace and his wonderful return. And that's what has to happen. How it happens, when it happens, all of that is up to God. So therefore, having said that, keeping that in mind, now God, help me on that so I can see that. Over, if you would please, to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. In the book of Isaiah and in chapter 55. And that which you're familiar with. To harmonize, to bring it all in harmony. Wonderful. You play the piano with the notes. And what are you doing? You're seeking to take that piece of music and put it into notes and music. And then we're going to try to sing. We try to sing on the same page, following the same notes and mood and music. What are we doing? We're trying to harmonize. The pianist isn't playing page 25. We're singing page 52. It isn't that kind of thing. There has to be harmony. We're all on the same page. We sing the same thing, in tune with the piano, playing. We're in tune with heaven. all of God, we need to be in tune, in touch with heaven, to have a heavenly harmony, a coming together of the parts to make an harmonious relationship so that we're comfortable with God and what he does in your life without jumping it or dumping it. Here's Job. Now remember, we did just Job recently and all of that. And here's Job chapter 42 in Jeremiah. He's too wonderful. God's too extraordinary. There's nothing too hard for God. And Job, what are you doing? Job, what are you doing? Job said, listen, I was too stupid. I was wondering why I was getting clipped with all these things, and the devil did it. My friends weren't helping at all. And I wondered why God would let that happen. And I should have just said, God, help me go through this thing properly, which is what he ends up doing and what he did, so that I can learn. And that's what he did. He said, I was so stupid to make a big deal about what was happening to me. But all I did is want to understand. And once I understood, it was too wonderful that you would let it happen, God. I don't believe you would have such a plan for my life. Hang on now. Over to Isaiah 55. Picking up, please. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Yet let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Reason 4. For my thoughts, said God, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. I think different. I do everything different. I'm looking at it from a God perspective, having all the pieces. You want to understand. I want you just to seek me and know me and honor me as I outwork your so great salvation and the outworking of my wonderful, wonderful program for planet Earth. That's what I want you to do. My thoughts. What about your thoughts, God? Next verse. For as the heavens, verse 9, are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So now, a little question. How are you going to, you're going to use your mind, and you can read the Bible and do whatever, use whatever mind, the way you want to think. I want you to outthink God. At your best, when you're the sharpest, can you outthink God? I can't do it. Your best thought. Think, I'll think them. They're higher than the heavens. What are we going to do? Harmonize. Because we can't what? There's no way for me to get God's, to bring it into my little head and heart to do it. It's beyond me, wonderfully beyond me. Now, having said that, Isaiah 55, now go over, having said that, how to do that. Psalm 136. Psalm 139. Now watch it. Here it is. Psalm 139. May I go directly. Here's David. David, and remember we did verse 6, the two knowledge, there's no way to hide from God, there's no way to escape God. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful, remember our study in Jeremiah, wonderful, too hard, too extraordinary, too superhuman, beyond me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain it. Sliding over, verse 17. But how precious also are thy thoughts. That's the same word you have in Isaiah 55, verse 6, 7 and 8, 9, same thought. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. God's thinking. God's thinking is higher than the heavens. What God's doing, of all the things we've been trying to say, his 1,000 zillion pieces we don't have. Therefore, verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's thoughts are more than the sand. They are higher than the heavens and more than the sand. How many thoughts do you have about yourself? What's your plans, your future, your enjoyment? You've got all the thoughts you have. You're going to have something for before you go to bed tonight. So you got that in your head. What are you going to do? Got 1,000 thoughts. God's thoughts are more than the sand of the sea about us, about you. Can you? You can't grab that. You can't even touch that. No. What do? Harmonize. And sit and say, God, thank you. Because there's no way. There's no way I can do this. My little mind and heart is not capable of this. Now, so, more than the sand of the sea, God. Wonderfully, 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 more than the sand of the sea. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, what are we going to know? So, God, here's the thoughts, and we want to have harmony with you. The harps, all of it's in harmony. So, therefore, over to 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 25. And remember all the harps that are there. And we're going to take the harps. The harps are a triangular, the old harps, made of a triangle with strings, or a circle with strings. And that's what they used for harps, for music. And they did it. Now I'm interested because the 24 elders that are there are all back over in Revelation 5 and 8. They're looking to what? They're praising, looking to God with their harps. That's what they're doing. Now, what about harps? What about harps? Chapter 25. Verse 1. Moreover, David and his captain and the captain of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Haman and Jehuthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was, etc. What are they doing? In order to prophesy, in order to worship God, in order to honor God, they had to go, and they did it. How did they take the word of God? Is the word of God bad? Is God's will bad? No, you need to celebrate. You need to thank God that God, his thoughts is higher than the heavens. You need to thank him and look to God with thanksgiving. You don't, all you can do is enjoy God's thinking, which is more than the sand of the sea about you. So here we're going to do. What did they do? And when Israel was healthy, they had the whole bunch of people that were trained and ready to sing, and they sang psalms, they sang the psalms and all of that to God. Because they're celebrating. They're celebrating what? Prophecy, God's word. You got God's word, they're celebrating God's word. That's what they're doing, wonderfully. And it's a wonderful thing to have God's word. I would never know his thoughts are higher than the heavens unless I could read it. Tell me where you would know that. From the Book of Mormon? Science of Mind? Where are you going to read it? You aren't. You aren't going to read it. God tells you something. I would never know it. God knows it. Wonderful. Now, hang on. So in the light of that, over if I can, to Psalm 137. And in Psalm 137, picking up if I may, Israel was taken captive by Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, what was going to happen that could not happen in Babylon? 137. 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they had carried us away captive, required of us a song, that wasted us, Babylonians, required us to be mirthful, us mirth, saying, sing unto the Lord, sing of the songs of Zion. Question 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How are we going to celebrate God when we're down in the dumps? How am I going to celebrate God when I'm depressed? How am I going to celebrate God when I'm disappointed? When I'm looking at the world and say, God, how could you let this happen? How am I going to celebrate God? How am I going to celebrate? We're in a strange. Our thinking is not honor. Our thinking has to line up with God. God's thinking is higher than the heavens. So what am I going to do? I'm going to harmonize. He wants to be in the page. I'm going to turn the page. I want to be where he is thinking. That's why we're going to, in returning and rest, you'll be saved. In quietness and confidence, you'll be your strength. That's why you're going to do it. Because God's going to keep it. So, having said that, in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and here's the harps. Now, here's the harps and what they're doing and all of that. And the harps go well one place. We have to just, somehow time has gone. Over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 15, just to show you. The harps that they have, now where do they get the harp? When we went to heaven, we went without anything. When we get there, we have a number of things happen. We get dressed a little bit, not a resurrection body, but a covering, and we have. So in the process, at Revelation chapter 15, now what do I want to know about those harps? Among other things, may I go directly to the end of verse 2. I'll read verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over the image, and over his mark, they beat the Antichrist by not believing, not honoring him, and over the number of his name, 666. Stand on the sea of glass. What were they doing on this sea of glass? You didn't have to drown on that ground. You can't drown on the sea of glass. Having the harps, and who do the harps belong to? God. Where do they make them? Where do they make these harps? God said, I made them. I want the believing heart to be able to honor me. I want them to be in the same page. I'm going to have him harmonize with me. The Lamb is going to take the book and unfold the judgments. I want them to be in harmony with heaven and what I'm doing. And therefore, I'm going to give him a harp. And you know what? It didn't take 2 seconds for them to understand there are no more seconds in heaven. It didn't take anything for them once they saw the Lamb Take the book. All of them, what did they do? They played their harps. They made a wonderful movement to harmonize with God. Their harps and their words to harmonize with God. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully. Now, and then to do that, to harmonize with God's wonderful person in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so therefore, they're going to go and exercise the relationship to God that he requires, and they're going to enjoy God. Awful. No, no. You have a different window. You see it differently. you'll see your life differently. God sees your life one way, you see your life another way. God's doing what he's doing to make it his way. That's what he's doing. Changing us from one degree of glory to the next to want to do it his way. See, if we're cooperating. Now, and in the light of that, I don't want to do the gold, because there's no time for gold and riches, because then we'd be late. So I think we'll try to do just a rest in the fact that God knows what he's doing. God's doing what he knows. God's going to keep doing what he's doing and what he knows. And he's coming. That's what he's going to do. And God tells us to be of good cheer. To be of good cheer. Oh, thank you for that. Isaiah, in closing, I need a scripture. Isaiah. I knew there was one somewhere. Isaiah. If I can. In Isaiah and chapter 43. And it goes with our little harps and that. Picking up Isaiah 43, wonderful truths, wonderful context, sliding down directly to verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. Why did you form them, God? Why did you create Israel? Chapter 43, verse 7. I created them for my glory. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. They're going to, it's intensive, the verb, to declare my praise. The word praise is made up of word, the word to show, like the sun shine, to show, and to say. Go together, Rhea. Show and say. I'm going to go, and what are we going to, what's praise? What I'm going to help them understand, to declare, to show, and to say my praise. That's what they're going to do, intensely. What are we doing in Revelation 5:8? We're beginning to understand what's going to happen to us there. We're going to show like shine, and shine, and say, shine. Two words, they go together, to shine and show. We're going to have the music and the words to go with it. We're going to show God's wonderful, our wonderful appreciation. How are we going to do that? Simply by exercising the relationship that God has made possible on Calvary's cross. That's why the nail prints in his hand. And that's why I'm there. And that's why you're there. And that's why what God's doing, what he's doing. And we celebrate. We love to celebrate. And God makes the celebration impossible for us. But all of a sudden, it's possible. And I can sing like Nelson Eddy or something. You know, Mario Lanza. What can I tell you? Wow. To celebrate. Here we are. Not much celebration. But there will be. And it's going to be, God is going to exercise those judgments on planet Earth. We're the harbinger, we're looking, we see the shadow, it's coming. No question, it's coming. Now God, here we are, and we're gonna see things that you wouldn't have seen in the 40s, even though the war. You wouldn't have seen them, but we're gonna see them. Wow. And we're going to come part of them, I assume. I assume if the Lord doesn't come, we're going to reap where everything's going, a little more. But we'll never get that far because God's going to take us home. And even so, come. So we're going to get home. What are we going to do? We're going to celebrate that we got home. And we're going to surely celebrate as God sets forth those judgments. And we're going to harmonize with him. We aren't going to fight him and say, debate him. God, you don't have to go and cut a third of the earth, people out of the earth. You don't have to do those things. No, we aren't going to do that. We're going to be in full accord with what happens in Revelation 6 through 19. Full accord.